Right, good morning everyone. Well, firstly, thank you to Iva for having me here this morning. It's great to be able to come back and share again this morning. Cause I came here probably a couple of years ago. I think it was on a Saturday afternoon. Maybe some of you remember me, but probably some of you weren't here as well. So, I'm going to give a brief recap of my story. And you probably would have noticed that I am physically disabled. And sometimes having my disability can get me into some quite amusing situations. And when I was 17, I went to a sixth form at a school near Bristol. And the school, although it was a mainstream school, they had a number of disabled people there. So they had some staff there, especially to help out these disabled people. And one of the members of staff came up to me one day saying, "We've got something through the post which you might be interested in. It's regional trials for disabled athletics. Would you like to have a go?" And I thought to myself, I've never raced disabled people before. This could be quite good fun. So she said the event's down in Yeovil, which from my house at the time was about an hour and a half's drive. And she said it's in just over 3 weeks' time. You need to get your entry in pretty quickly. So I took the forms home and I thought to myself, I'm not very quick, but I can keep going. So I entered the 1500 metres. And then I thought, if I'm going all the way down to Yeovil, what's the point in doing one race? I might as well enter a second race too. So I entered the 400 metres. Now you have to bear in mind, I've never actually run 1500 metres before. I'd walked it, but I'd never run it. But I thought, oh, it'll be fine, I'll make it. So I trained for it over those 3 weeks, and I gradually built up to the distance, and I ran the 1500 metres twice in practice. And then it was the day of the event, and I arrived in Yeovil, and my name was called for the starting line for the 1500 metres. And I thought it was going to be like the Paralympics, where they put you into categories according to your disability. No. There were three of us. There was me, there was someone who had cerebral palsy, and the other man who was partially sighted. He could run just like anyone else, just couldn't see so well where he was going. And I thought, this is going to go horribly wrong. Well, the race got underway and I was soon well behind the other two, and it suddenly occurred to me, the partially sighted man, he's going to lap me. Is he going to see me? Unfortunately, he ran round me. And then the cerebral palsy man lapped me, and the partially sighted man lapped me again. And I ended up having to run the whole last lap all on my own. And then I was coming onto the final bend with 200 metres to go, and I heard an announcement over the sound system. "Can Bart G please come to the starting line for the 400 metres? And I'm thinking, I'm on my way. And do you know what was wrong with the winner of the 400 metres? He was deaf. My only chance was that he couldn't hear the gun. I thought, how is this fair? I've just ran the best part of a mile with my disability, and that was his first race. And the other funny thing about that race was there were people who came in wheelchairs. I imagine it's probably to rest their legs. They got out their wheelchairs, they ran round and beat me, and then they all got back in them again. So that's one of many stories I could share with you anyway. So a brief recap of my story. So when I was 5 years old, I went to a car auction with my family, and Dad and my brother had got out the car. And I was sat in the car with Mum. And I said to Mum, I want to become a Christian. How do I become a Christian? Because I had absolutely no doubt, even with my limited understanding at that age, 5 years old, I had no doubt whatsoever about God's existence. So Mum, first of all, explained to me the scripture from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And she said, "I need to pray and ask Jesus into my heart." And that's when I made my own personal decision to become a Christian. I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart to be central in my life. Now, so I was born with quite a rare physical disability called arthrogryposis, which means that I have weak muscles and stiff joints. And arthrogryposis can affect people in different ways. So one person might have it in, say, just their wrist. Other people it might affect maybe their legs. Other people like me, it affects their whole body, and it affects people in different levels of how severe it can be as well. And when I was born, doctors said that I would never walk. They said I may never have the strength to be able to sit up independently, and I was basically given a very bleak outlook to life. Now, I was brought up in a Christian family, and the church that I went to, the pastor of our church, he prophesied to my parents, saying that little by little, that I will be able to do more and more new things that will amaze people. And he prayed for two things specifically. The first thing that he prayed was that one day I would be physically able to walk down the aisle of the church. And this was going against what the doctors were saying. Well, when I was 3 years old, I used to go to physiotherapy sessions very regularly at the Bristol Children's Hospital. And I was already able to sit up at that point. I was able to sit up at quite a young age, independently. And I used to just sort of shuffle around on the floor. But when I was 3 years old, I remember going to physiotherapy, and there was this one session that really stood out. With the physiotherapist, she propped me up against the wall. Just imagine I'm leaning against the wall now. She propped me up against the wall and let go of me. And she said, I want to see if you can start walking. And I remember trying and trying and trying, and I couldn't move. And I felt really frustrated because there were other children my age, 3 years old, up on their feet running around. I thought, well, why can't I do that? I didn't really understand at that age what my disability meant to me. And I didn't realize that I actually sort of looked quite different from everyone else. I just thought I was slower. But sometime after that, I was about 3.5 years old, and Mum was carrying me up the stairs to go to bed. And as we were going up the stairs, a thought just dropped into my head. Now you're going to start walking. It was as clear as that to me. Now you're going to start walking, even at that age, 3.5 years old. So I said to Mum, I think I'm going to start walking now. So in the same way as the physiotherapist propped me up against the wall, Mum propped me up against the wall. She let go of me, and I took 1, 2, 3 steps, and then I fell down. We tried it again, and I took 1, 2, 3 steps, and then I fell down. And then from then onwards, it was a matter of could I do a little bit more each day. And I remember the following day, I'd be at home, and my parents would prop me up against the wall downstairs, and I'd have to try and make it from one side of the room to the other, and I'd get partway across and I'd fall down, and then they'd pick me up, and I'd get a bit further and I'd fall down, and then they'd pick me up, and I eventually made it over to the other side of the room, and then I was gradually able to do more and more each day until eventually I was able to walk without thinking about what I was doing, which for me was absolutely great. It meant such freedom. So then I went to school just like everyone else, and I really didn't want to watch my friends take part in sports and activities at break times. I really wanted to take part in whatever I could. So you have to bear in mind that I didn't know people with the same disability as me growing up. So if I was to take part, I'd really have to try and find my own ways. And so I was able to take part in many different sports, things like running, football, table tennis. I had a go at rugby. I wasn't that successful. I couldn't really catch a ball, and I couldn't get up off the floor. But apart from that, I was great. And swimming, just to mention a few sports. And coming up to sort of more recent years, I'm always looking for new challenges to take part in, really to sort of push the boundaries of my disability, because I don't want my disability to stop me from leading as normal life as possible. So 5 years ago, I heard about the Sport Relief Swimathon, and at this point, I was regularly swimming. I was basically swimming a mile each week just for fitness. So I thought, well, they had three different distances to offer: a 5 kilometer swim, a 2.5 kilometer, and a 1500. And I thought, well, I already swim a mile, so let's go for the 2.5 kilometer and see if I can do it. And I trained for it, and I managed to do it. And then a couple of years ago, I wanted to go the next step further, and I entered the Marie Curie Swimathon. And I knew it was going to be really, really tough. It was a 5 kilometer swim, because you have to bear in mind that my disability affects my whole body. So I've got very limited use of my arms and legs. So I can't actually lift my arms any more than that to actually keep them there. I can swing them, but there's no strength to actually keep them in the air. But because I've got that movement in my arms, which meant I could swim slowly in the water, I knew it was possible to do the 5 kilometers, so let's train for it. And I eventually managed to finish it in a really slow time. It was about 5.5 hours. also a couple of years ago, someone mentioned to me about a triathlon, especially for disabled people to take part in. It was the first of its kind in the country for disabled people. And I thought, let's just enter the longest distance that they offer. It's held at Eton Dorney, the Olympic rowing venue for the London Olympics. And the longest distance that they offer is the equivalent of a sprint triathlon for an able-bodied person. So it's a 750-meter lake swim, a 20-kilometer cycle, and I ride a hand cycle because I haven't got the knee movement in my legs. I can't bend my knees very much, not enough to rotate the pedals. And it was a 5-kilometer run after the 20-kilometer cycle. Now, I'm not allowed to run either anymore because I've had ankle surgery, but I'm still allowed to walk as far as I like. So I thought, if I can do these three sports, let's train for it and let's see if I can do it. And I eventually managed to finish it the first time a couple of years ago in 4 hours, 12 minutes and 47 seconds. So it's pretty slow. I did the same triathlon again last year and I couldn't have got much closer with my time. I beat my time by 16 seconds. So it was very close, and I've worked out that if I can keep beating my time by 16 seconds each year, by the time I'm 100, I should break the 4-hour mark. So I'm actually doing this triathlon again on Saturday. It's coming up quickly now. So my aim is just to see if I can beat my time again. And I drive a car which has been adapted for me. So anyone here ever seen a car without a steering wheel before? No. So I steer with handlebars, just like riding a bike. And then I've got a head control, which operates the horn, wipers, indicators, and the lights. And this just gives me so much independence. It means I can, because I regularly speak in churches, schools, prisons around the country, it just means I can get in the car myself and go. So I think before I carry on, with my talk, I think it'd be good to show a short video which sort of demonstrates how I've adapted to take part in various activities. If God is real, if God is a loving God, how come He hasn't healed me of my disability? And I prayed for this many times growing up, knowing that God is able to take away my disability, knowing that God is fully able to heal me, but He still hasn't taken it away. But I really believe that God can use people through the difficulty of a situation so that His works can be displayed and for His glory to shine through that person. And 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10, it says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, we all face difficulties or trials at some point in our lives. And in James 1, verse 2 to 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And no matter what our situation is, I always believe that God has a plan. And there have been numerous times in my life when I've noticed God's timing being perfect and God's plans for my life just falling absolutely into place. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And when I was 18 years old, I was coming to the end of sixth form. And I really wanted to go to Christian Music College. And there was a Christian Music College not far from home, New Generation Ministries, near Bristol. And I was going to apply there when I was 18 years old, but I actually decided to leave it for a year. And I applied when I was 19 years old, and when I went, they said I was a good enough musician, but they thought the course would suit me better if I went to Nexus, another Christian music college, in Coventry. And I thought, wow, if I do this, this is going to be a big step for me, because it means I'm going to have to sort of move away from home for the first time. And for me, with my disability, it's a little bit more complicated than it is for most people moving away from home. Partly because I need care, I need help with sort of getting ready in the mornings, and just the extra sort of complications. But I thought it seems the right thing to do. So I actually applied when I was 19. And I got accepted straight away. I was really quite surprised that that in my interview they didn't even want to see me play the piano at all, but they accepted me straight away. But anyway, after getting accepted, it was quite amazing because I found out that there was someone else from my church back home in Bristol at the time who was going to be starting at the college at the same time as me. I didn't even know he was interested in going. So there was someone at the college right from the start that I knew, someone that I could go to. Then at the church where I was based in Coventry, there was someone I knew. We used to be on the same church football team a couple of years beforehand, so I knew someone there. And then when I arrived at the house where I was going to be living, the house, I was going to be with three people from the college, and one of my housemates, he was the brother of one of my youth leaders from back home. So there was one person in each place. Moving away from home for the first time, one person in each place that I could go to. Whereas if I'd applied a year earlier, like I was originally going to, that wouldn't have happened. God's timing is just perfect. Another example, much more recently, late October, November time last year, I had quite a surprising invite, which is to go and speak in India, in August this year. And I thought, this is great, but how is it going to work? Because, like I said, I need care, I need help with getting ready. Am I going to be able to arrange care out there in advance? I thought, it just sounds like a great opportunity to go, but I just couldn't see how it's going to work. And anyway, I was chatting with some friends from church, and one of my friends, he's actually from India. And when I told him the name of the town where I'd been invited, it's a town I'd never heard of before, called Vijayawada. Well, his uncle and aunt live there, and he grew up not far from there, and he knows the area. Well, anyway, without me even asking, he's offered to come with me and give me all the help that I need. And guess what he does for a living? He's a doctor. So for me, that was just amazing how God's plans fall into place. Out of anywhere I could have been invited, it just happened to be there. And so I'm actually traveling out with him, speaking for 11 days. I'm going out a week on Thursday, which basically just to sort of share my story in quite a number of different places while I'm there. So 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And when you have a difficulty, do you see a difficulty as a problem, maybe an obstacle, or do you see it as an opportunity? Now, when I was, it would have been probably about 5 years ago, I was invited into Bristol Brunel Academy, a secondary school in Bristol. I was invited to go in and share my story and to play the piano for them. And I really wasn't used to talking in front of people at all at the time. So I went feeling really nervous, thinking I was going to be speaking in the classroom. But when I arrived, I found out it was going to be the whole of year 9, then the whole of year 8, and then the whole of year 7 in 3 separate assemblies to a total of around 650 children. And when I heard this, I thought, help, because I was really nervous. But I found it quite overwhelming, the response that I had when I went in, when I went and shared my story, because I had children after each assembly queuing up to ask me questions and wanting to see me play the piano close up. But there were two things that really stood out to me that day. The first thing, there was a year 8 boy who came up to me, and all he said to me quietly was, "Sir, I think you're amazing." And I didn't really think too much about it until later that evening. The teacher who invited me in messaged me to say that she overheard him say that and couldn't believe it, because he was like the worst behaved in the year and was on report. So my story actually had an impact on him. And then there was a year seven girl, and she came up to me after the year seven assembly, and she said that when I played the piano, she started to cry, and it was because her mum had some sort of disability and had basically given up trying to cope with her disability. So she said she was going to go home and tell her mum about me and really try and sort of motivate her and tell her not to give up. And it suddenly occurred to me after that day that, yes, when I was younger, like I said, when I was younger, that I prayed for God to take away my disability, for God to heal me. But it suddenly occurred to me, what if God could use me through the difficulty of my situation? And whenever you face difficulties in your life, what if God could use you through the difficulty of your situation too? And I didn't actually share my story for quite a while after that, but about 18 months later, I got invited to a church in Birmingham where I knew the pastor. She just contacted me out of the blue, and I shared my story there. And then, having seen on Facebook that I was sharing my story there, an old school friend from sixth form invited me to her school in London. And then at the beginning of 2016, I thought, this is it. This is what I really feel that God's calling me to do this, to actually share my story around the country. So I set up my website, breakinglimits.co.uk, and I started contacting people, and how amazing it is, how things have just taken off. I mean, it was really slow to start with. I think I shared my story probably six times in the first 6 months. But up to this year, now I'm sort of sharing my story. I think I've got around 120 talks now, this year. So it's just amazing how God's opened up the opportunities. And I now get to share my story as well as churches, schools and prisons. And for me, actually going to schools and prisons, I see that as an amazing opportunity. Having my disability gives me the opportunity to go in. If I didn't have my disability, I wouldn't necessarily get to share my story. I wouldn't necessarily be able to share what God's done in my life. And when I go into schools, I'm allowed to share, as long as I don't say you should, but I'm allowed to share what God's done in my life. And for some of these people, you know, they may never have heard about God, you know, about the ways that God works in people's lives. So for me, it's just like great opportunity to have my disability. I see it as almost like a sort of privileged situation to actually be able to sort of share my Christian faith with others. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 to 18 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Now, whenever we see God step into our situation, I would always encourage you to share with others, because it can be a real encouragement. Matthew 5 verse 14 to 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, we all face difficulties at some point in our lives, but no matter our situation, we have so many reasons to praise God. Because God is our healer. Isaiah 53 verse 4 to 5. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." And then Psalm 46 verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble." And then "God is omnipotent, as in he is all-powerful." Matthew 19 verse 26 says, "Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And then "God is omniscient, as in he knows everything." Psalm 147 verse 5, we already had this scripture earlier at the beginning of the service. "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." And then "God is omnipresent, as in he is everywhere." Psalm 139 verse 7 to 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And then God is sovereign. Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 10 says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. And then God is great. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. And then God is our Savior through Jesus Christ. John 3:16. I've already mentioned this already. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So I would encourage you all that whenever we face difficult situations in our lives, rather than focusing on the difficulty of our situation, to praise God in all our circumstances, because God is our healer, he's our refuge and strength, he's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign, he's a great God, and he is our Savior. Now, I don't always find it easy to express myself with words, but I believe that God's given me a gift on the piano, a gift in music. And when I go back to my story, I've already mentioned the first part of the prayer that the pastor prayed. He prayed that one day I'd be physically able to walk down the aisle of the church. The second thing that he prayed was that one day I'd be able to play the organ like my dad. And Dad, he played the organ at church every week, and being able-bodied would play using both hands and all of his fingers. Now, you have to bear in mind that also when I was very young, that when the doctors gave the bleak outlook to my parents, Mum asked the doctor with that little bit of hope, because Dad plays the piano and the organ, is there ever any chance of me playing? And the doctors basically said, looking at my hands as they are, there's absolutely no chance whatsoever. There's even doubt that I would have the strength to press down a key. But anyway, when I was 5 years old, we already had a piano at home. And Dad would play the piano regularly, just for fun, just for enjoyment. Obviously similar to play to the organ with your hands. And watching him play the piano, because he's a good musician, it really inspired me. And I thought, I would love to be able to play what you're playing. And so I asked my parents if I could start having piano lessons. And they agreed to it. Let's just give it a try. It might be a challenge that I could set myself. So in my first piano lesson, it was a matter of, did I have the strength to press down a key? I did with my right, and I did with my left hand. So just the very fact that I had the strength in both hands to press down the key meant that playing the piano was going to be possible. So from then onwards, it was a matter of working out with my teacher what I was going to be able to do. And the next thing was, could I actually press down both keys together? Using both hands. Which I could do. And then could I add some rhythm? And then could I add some melody? And then could I add more fingers? And then once I could actually play the piano, I really wanted to try and get to a standard where I could actually play in church, leading people in worship, without my playing being a distraction. And what I mean by that is that I would have the tendency to hit down other notes, as well as the notes I intend to play. So I'm actually going to lead you now in the song, Oh Praise the Name. If we could have the words off on screen, if possible. And David, could you... Yep. And if everyone would like to stand...